Right, let's look at the P35. Form P35 is the employer annual return. For those of us or our clients that did file online last year and were still registered for online, as I've said, we won't receive a paper P35 for 2007-08. Any employer that has 50 or more employees, again I've said already, is required to file online. A P35N notification to file will be made available to view from the Pay As You Earn online service page using the View Employer Notices option. I myself have received email messages on the 12th and 13th of February for my clients. So I logged on, printed off the online notices and put them on my files. Paper B35s are issued by the Accounts Office towards the end of the tax year. And if one is needed, because you're not going to file online, you will need to contact the tax office and ask for one. Again, don't leave this too late. You mustn't miss the deadline for filing the returns. HMRC's E10 Finishing the Tax Year booklet states that an employer annual return submitted in paper form will be rejected by HMRC if any of the following applies. If the stationery used has not been approved by HMRC. If the form P35 is not signed. If the form P35 is not fully completed. If the form P35 is not enclosed. If the form P14s are not the correct version for the year. You should not be using old stock from last year. If a form P14 is not sent for everyone listed on the P35. If the forms P14 do not all have a valid entry in either the National Insurance Number box or the date of birth and the gender boxes. What do they mean by a valid entry? Some payroll software will still use a temporary National Insurance Number if they haven't got the proper National Insurance Number. Temporary number, TN, T for temporary, N for number, 110651, the date of birth, M for male. That may be used by the software during the year, but it is rejected. It's not acceptable for the end of year returns. If you haven't got a National Insurance Number, you have to put down the gender, male or female, and you have to put down the date of birth. The return will be rejected if the forms P14 do not all have an entry in the employee name box. So obviously there's got to be a name in the box. The National Insurance Contribution boxes, if they're not fully completed, the return will be rejected. If the forms P14 do not all have an entry in the pay box, and then if the entries on the form P14 are unclear, for example, the entries are made faint, entries are not displayed within the white boxes, perhaps due to carbon smudges. The font size of the print is too small. The forms have been hole punched where there is relevant information. The forms have been damaged. The forms have not been split correctly. The forms P14 are attached together with either glue or staples. Sticky labels or correcting fluid have been used on the forms P14. Don't do that. If you're doing them manually, you make a mistake, you have to throw it away and do a new form. If the sprockets have not been taken off the forms P14. This may seem a bit of a nitpicking exercise, but of course these forms have to be read by scanners. And perhaps this is why HMRC are trying to say to us that filing online is so much better. It's cleaner. That's what HMRC says. It's cleaner, there are less mistakes. And you will get an on-screen message through your software telling you if your return has failed and why. And you'll get that message a lot quicker. HMRC also makes the point that if there are any errors, they've got to be corrected and resubmitted by the same deadline, the 19th of May, if the late filing penalty is to be avoided. Now, if returns are sent on paper or by magnetic media, they will be returned for correction if they fail the initial quality checks, and they must be corrected and resubmitted by that 19th of May deadline. However, HMRC will not carry out a detailed review of the paper and the magnetic media returns until after that deadline on the 19th of May. So if they then pick up mistakes and reject them, it'll be too late to correct in time. Okay, let's look at the paper form P35. It's not changed much this year apart from dates. It's a four-page form. Page one of the paper P35 spells out the employer obligation and also tells you where to get help. Page two and three requires the listing of directors and employees and the summarising of all the payments made in the year. And then page four comprises the checklist at part three, which we have to discuss because it's quite important. There's a box for the employer contracted out pensions number. And then at part four, the very important employer certificate and declaration in part five. You must list each employee for whom a P11 deductions working sheet or equivalent record was required. If some or all of the P14s are being sent by the internet, electronic data interchange or magnetic media, there's no need to complete part one, summary of the employees and director section of the return. What might happen is the payroll bureau might submit the P14s and the employer might submit the P35. The next requirement is to list the directors first and to mark their entries with an asterisk to signify that they're directors. This means Companies Act directors. It doesn't mean people that have the name director but aren't directors. Then list employees in alphabetical order of surname or the same order as you have collated the P14s. There may be batches, there may be in branches, divisions, but in alphabetical order in each batch or division. For each employee, the total of employees and employers' national insurance contributions recorded in column 1D of the P11, end of year summary box, have got to be listed. And for each employee, the tax deducted or refunded recorded in the In This Employment box at the foot of column 6 on the form P11. I've said already the checklist on page 4 is quite important. It requires a tick in the no or yes boxes as appropriate for 6 questions. Be careful not to just tick the first box for every question and assume that that's right. It's not. Question 1 says, have you sent a form P14 end of year summary or completed and retained a form P38S student employees for every person in your paid employment, either on a casual basis or otherwise, during the tax year shown on the front of this form? So in other words, 2007-08. You've got an option of ticking no or yes. Most employers should be ticking yes. If no is ticked, it says please send a form P38A employer supplementary return. So again, tick no, you've got to do a P38A. I'll explain the P38A procedure in a moment. Question 2 says, did you make any free of tax payments to an employee? In other words, did you bear any of the tax yourself rather than deduct it from the employee? I would expect the answer to that to be no, almost every time. If there were any free of tax payments made, and the answer is yes, you will need to have the supporting information to explain to HMRC if they ask questions. I would also add that if there is a PAYE settlement agreement in place where the employer perhaps thinks he's paying things free of tax, that question doesn't apply to the PSA. Question 3, this says, so far as you know, did anyone else pay expenses or in any way provide vouchers or benefits to any of your employees whilst they were employed by you during the year? Again, I expect most employers to say no, but I gave you an example earlier on of the 6th of July deadline for a third party notifying employees of their benefits. We talked about if an employer selling products in Boots or Harrods, Debenhams, etc., were giving vouchers as incentives to the employees of Boots, etc., then if the employer is aware of those incentive schemes, the employer would have to answer yes to question three. And again, be prepared to explain that to HMRC if they come and do an audit and ask about the question. Let's move on. Question four of the checklist. Did anyone employed by a person or company outside the UK work for you in the UK for 30 or more days in a row? So 30 consecutive days. So anyone employed by a foreign employer based outside the UK working for you in the UK? If the answer is no, fine, we move on. If the answer is yes, it then asks, if yes, have you sent a form P14 for them? And again, the expectation would be that it will be yes and yes. If yes, people like that have worked for you and you haven't done a P14, HMRC may come calling. Because there is a requirement for a UK user of a foreign employee to operate Pay As You Earn, even if they're not the employer, if the foreign employer is not in the UK and can't operate it. So be very careful about that one. You might need to take some advice on that one. Question five says, have you paid any of an employer's pay to someone other than the employee, for example, to a school? Again, expectation, most of the time the answer is no. But if the employer has paid school fees to the director's or the employee's children's school, there's a potential national insurance point at least here. Was the contract between the school and the employer? If it was, it should be a benefit in kind and it would be reported on the P11D. If it wasn't, if the employer was simply reimbursing the bill that was the employee's or director's bill, then the question here will be yes. And the expectation would have been it should have gone through the payroll. Again, be careful of that one. Question six, the newest question, but there now for some years. Are you a service company? So obviously, most employers, the answer is no. If the answer is yes, it says if yes, have you operated the intermediaries legislation, sometimes known as IR35, or the managed service companies legislation? So if the answer is yes, the expectation is that the second answer will be yes, or questions will be asked. But again, I say for most employers, the answer is no, even if they have employed the services of a one-man band service company partnership or what have you. The question is, are you a service company, not have you engaged the services of a service company? So I think we move on from there. I've said already, part four is the contracted out pension schemes. If you have a contracted out pension scheme, enter your employer contracted out number from your contracting out certificate. And then we go to question five, the employer certificate and declaration. Very important, of course. Tick one box to complete each statement below, it says. And then it says, I declare and certify that forms P14, end of year summary, for each employee or director of whom I was required to complete a form P11 deductions working sheet or equivalent record during the year are all enclosed. So the expectation would be there would be a tick in that box. It says, or have been sent separately in one or more parts. Then it says, completed form P38A employer supplementary return. And the tick in the box is either is enclosed or is not due. If question one of the checklist answered no, there should be a P38A. If question one answered yes, in other words, all the P14s are there, then the answer is not due. Next question, completed forms P11D and P11DB, returns of expenses payments, benefits and Class 1A contributions, and it says are due or are not due. So at this early stage doing the P35, if you know that there's no P11Ds that are due and are going to be submitted, you should say are not due. If you tick the box to say they are due, there'll be an expectation later on that P11Ds will be submitted. Then the declaration says all the details on this return and any forms enclosed or sent separately are fully and truly stated to the best of my knowledge and belief, and it requires an employer's signature. It doesn't have to be a director, it should be a responsible person. It could be perhaps the payroll manager, the HR director, what have you. And again, importantly, it must be signed and dated, and HMRC asks for a telephone number to be inserted there in case there's a query.